Hey everyone, welcome back to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I'm so glad you're here and I'm so excited for today's episode.
I know the concern is, you know, I was married to someone who was emotionally abusive or physically abusive or, you know, was a narcissist. And how do I parent my children? How do I help my children to not make the same mistakes that I did? I don't want them to have to go through what I went through in life. And really trying to heal yourself, learn how to love yourself and still be a parent. And, you know, make sure that you're teaching your child all of these lessons. I want to go over some things that you can do as parents to help not only educate your children, but when you're in the midst of conversation with, you know, your daughter or your son's new girlfriend in high school or whatever, just the things that you can do as parents to help educate your own children as well. So for me, one of my biggest hopes is my son is 4 years old, and I really hope that by the time he gets into middle school and high school that, along with, you know, the sex ed and health and all of those classes that kids take, that they really start teaching this stuff. They start teaching about narcissistic abuse. They start teaching about emotional abuse. Because when I was growing up, I don't even really remember the classes that I took, but really the main topic was always physical abuse and not having someone put their hands on you and things of that sort. But no one talked about, well, what's manipulation? You know, what's controlling? What's gaslighting? What's projection? You know, what's jealousy and what does that look like, and all of that stuff. So I really hope that in the future that this stuff starts getting into classrooms, and not just get into classrooms, because the fact of the matter is that it's our job as parents to teach our children these things. It's not, you know, an educator's job. It's not the school system's job. I hope it becomes a part of curriculum, because I think it's more important than learning chemistry, that unless you're going to be, you know, in a field where you really utilize that, I don't think that that's more important than teaching this stuff. But what I really suggest parents to do is to, you know, really sit down with their children and watch these videos. I don't think it's a bad thing to have children watch these types of videos, because what are we really going to do at a dinner table? We're going to sit there and say, hey, Susie, you know, I just saw a video today that I think I want to discuss with you, and I want you to really understand this. Of course, that's stuff we can do when we're in the car with our children and they're telling us about something that's going on in school with their friend or whoever. At the dinner table, all of that stuff is really important. Those are definitely key moments when we can, you know, hammer these messages home and teach our children things. But I do think that them watching the videos, it's just as beneficial to them as it is for you. So if you find a coach on YouTube that you gravitate towards, I don't think it's a bad thing to also sit there with your child and watch these types of things and to say, hey, you know, I saw something on YouTube and I really like this coach. Letting your child also get to know you as well and the things that, you know, you want to help them understand, and letting them know honestly that, hey, I really want you to learn this stuff because mommy didn't learn it or daddy didn't learn it. And, you know, you don't have to talk about your ex or anything like that, but just getting them to see that, you know, mommy didn't learn this stuff growing up and I made some mistakes here and there and I overlooked some things that I shouldn't have because I didn't know these things. And I really want you to understand these things and learn them. And I want you to learn how to love yourself. Those are just great moments. So again, just like we can sit down and have our favorite show that we like to watch with our daughter or son or whatever, these are things as well that I don't think are a bad thing to start opening your children up to. So there's really five major things that as teenagers, you tend to see in these, you know, maybe abusive, immature relationships, and communicating these things to any child, whether they're in middle school all the way up to, you know, high school, college, and trying and making them understand these things, that way they can be on the lookout for them, is really important. Because, and I know I always say important wrong, and everyone always says, you know, I've been getting comments on, you say that wrong, you don't say it properly, and I'm sorry, I'm from New England, I'm from Boston, and I'm just thankful that my accent isn't as bad as it could possibly be. But anyways, there are five or six things that I want to go over that are really important in terms of just typical immature abusive relationships that you tend to see around that kind of teenage years. So the biggest one is control. So when we're growing up, when we're teenagers, we're you know, it's a difficult time, especially that middle school age going into high school where we're still awkward and we got the braces and we got the acne and our bodies haven't really, you know, fully developed yet. And we're just in that real awkward phase. So everyone's insecure, no matter if it's, you know, the popular girl to the not popular girl or, you know, vice versa with boys. The bully who's, the, you know, star athlete, he's just as insecure as the little, you know, shy boy in the hallway that maybe doesn't have a ton of friends. We're all on even playing fields here. So that aspect of control in relationships is, you know, the boyfriend or girlfriend that always wants to know where the other person is. They don't like it when they're hanging out with their friends or if they're even talking to another boy. And you know, when you're younger, you tend to think that that's love, that that means that that person really cares and that they like me and things like that. But though that is number one abuse, right? In terms of, we don't allow those things to happen no matter what age. And I think if you're a teenager and of course you're going through that awkward period, but again, if you're a parent that's learning how to love themselves and that's so important to you and you're doing affirmations and you know, you're learning how to set boundaries and you're really understanding that like I'm important and I matter and I know how to love myself and I'm gonna start practicing how to have more confidence and what does that look like for me? All of this work that you're doing for yourself, you need to show your child. And it's not about exposing your child to everything that's going on in mom and dad's life because it's, you know, we don't wanna share everything with them because we don't want them to feel worried or nervous or scared for what mom and dad might be going through. But any good stuff that you're learning throughout your journey and your self-development, that's all stuff that you should be teaching your children. So when I started really practicing positive affirmations and I started really looking at, well, how do I speak to myself? It's the same thing with our kids. And sometimes when our kids say things out loud that isn't okay, you know, I'm not good at this or I suck at this and no one likes me and I'm ugly or whatever the, you know, whatever the phrases are, of course as parents we're like, absolutely not, don't think that, you're amazing, like I love you and all of that stuff is great and we have to say that as well. But what you want to do is give the responsibility, put the responsibility a little bit in the child or teenager's hands and have them, you know, learn what should you really be saying about yourself. And it doesn't matter the age of the child. You know, you could have a 15-year-old boy or a 15-year-old girl, and if they say something that's hurtful and harmful to themselves, you need to stop it in its tracks. You know, let them know who they really are because they've forgotten, and tell them to, how can we, what do we need to be saying to ourselves? And really unraveling the story that they have attached to that negative affirmation that they're giving themselves. It's all about whatever you're doing for yourself, you need to be doing for your children. So I kind of got off track there with the control thing, but basically the control, you know, the obsession with someone or what they're doing and where they're going and how they're dressing and what they look like and who they're talking to, all of that stuff, that is just control abuse right there. And that's something that we definitely have to tell our children about. That doesn't mean that John loves you or he likes you. And that doesn't mean that Susie is head over heels for you because she just wants to control everything about you. Because someone that really loves you doesn't feel the need to control. They allow their partner, their boyfriend, their girlfriend to just be who they are and they love them or they like them just as they are. They don't feel that insecure need to control every little thing that they do. The next thing is punishment. Now, when we're growing up and we're emotionally mature, it's, you know, we tend to play that passive aggressive game. We tend to give the silent treatment. So recognizing when my boyfriend or girlfriend tends to do these things, when basically they're losing control and they're not able to control me and all of a sudden I get punishment, you know, in some form of another. So maybe they're canceling plans. Maybe now they're going to be cold with me because they don't get to dictate where I go and what I look like and who I talk to. Or they may just threaten to end the relationship in general. And again, these are all tactics. They make us feel guilty because we wanted to hang out with our friends and we didn't want to go to the movies with them. These are all tactics to control. These are all, you know, methods that someone who is emotionally abusing you are going to use to really control you. And that's the whole point of emotional abuse, is just really control. So educating them that this is not love. This is not someone liking you. And having enough confidence to say that if I need to stand my ground with you and I need to lose you, that that's a great thing, that that's an amazing thing, and that there's actually a boy or girl out there that doesn't do any of these things. And remember, these things are learned behaviors. So if a 14 or a 15 year old, you know, someone in high school are using these things, this is learned behavior at this point. So this isn't, you know, like a four-year-old that's trying to use manipulation or guilt or you know, a six-year-old or something like that. That's all normal developmental stuff that as a parent, you have to stop in its track before it becomes a mechanism that they use later on in life to get what they want. But by the time a child is in those teenage years, really a lot of that stuff is starting to really get set in stone. And this is just the behaviors that they learned in order to get what they want out of a situation. The next thing is manipulation, which is a big emotional abuse tactic right there. And we've talked about this definitely throughout this channel multiple times, but recognizing when someone's manipulating you, when someone's trying to use guilt, when someone's withholding from you. So again, I think it's so important and critical that when you're watching these videos, when you're reading these books, that it's not a bad thing during those teenage years to share that information with them. Because remember, if you have been in a marriage with your ex-spouse or even possibly current spouse, and your child has grown up in an environment, it doesn't matter the age, 4 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, and they've seen the dynamic between you two, you're mirroring what a relationship should look like. And even if, you know, the parents aren't really involved, and if the child spends a lot of time with grandma or uncle or cousin or whoever, and they see this is the dynamic with relationships in my family or with the people that I surround myself with or that I have to surround myself with, this is what they're learning is a healthy relationship. So if you're coming out of a marriage and you have these kids and they saw things that they shouldn't have seen, that it wasn't okay that daddy manipulated mommy, or that, you know, when mommy didn't get her way, she was passive aggressive and just completely shut down, or, you know, daddy was always really, really jealous and would get really angry at mommy if she would even go out with her friends, whatever it is. If they saw all of this stuff, subconsciously, this becomes part of their programming. This becomes part of, you know, this is what a relationship should look like, even though logically they might know as they become adults that that's not okay. Their subconscious runs the show. I mean, your subconscious mind runs about 95% of your day. So there's only a small percentage of your day, every single day, that is dictated by your conscious mind, which is, you know, where all of your logic and reason is stored. So really, we're robots. We're just going through the motions of whatever program is in that subconscious mind. And if your children saw this dynamic between you and your spouse for so long, and they saw the abuse, the control, you know, the guilt, the gaslighting, all of these things, you know, daddy's insecure, or mommy's, you know, verbally abusive to dad, then this is part of their programming. And as much as they don't want to attract this person, because logically they know that these things are not okay, they are going to energetically be linked to abusive people. So it's so important to obviously get out of a relationship if you know it is abusive, if nothing's changing to, or if neither of you are really healing and coming together and say, okay, we have a dysfunctional relationship, you know? And if that can't happen and you can't mutually heal and start reprogramming both of yourselves individually, then it's time to leave the relationship. And so if we're out of these relationships now and we have all of this damage, now we're worried about our children, these are the opportunities. These are the times when we need to express and teach, hey, I just want you to know, when dad used to do that or when mom did this, it wasn't okay. And I know you saw mommy take it, and I know you saw daddy allow this behavior to happen, but I want you to know it is not okay that this happened. That's perfectly fine. We don't need to bash our ex-partner or anything like that, but we definitely can say, hey, when you saw, you know, dad said these few things, and I know you felt guilty, and you started, you know, carrying that projection that dad had, teach them what projection is. You can do that at teenage years. Teach them what manipulation sounds like and what control looks like, all of those things. And let them know, hey, when mom was doing this or when dad was doing this, you know, I just want you to know that it wasn't okay and it's not healthy that they did that. That I think that's perfectly fine. And there might be some people that say absolutely no, and oh well, it's my opinion and I get to have my own opinion, is I don't think it's a bad thing to educate your children on the people that they have to be around, family and friends, and even their own circle of friends, when things are not okay, that this behavior is not right, and that's not how people should behave if they're healthy and happy. The other thing is isolating. So, you know, if you have your daughter is dating this guy and all of a sudden you realize that your daughter no longer hangs out with any of her friends anymore and that the boyfriend's controlling and really trying to isolate her from just the things that she normally enjoyed doing, that's abuse right there. You know, someone that doesn't give you praise and recognize what your accomplishments are in life. And just kind of not even, doesn't even have to belittle them really, and or make fun of them or anything like that. Just doesn't acknowledge them. They're not proud of you for who you are and what you do. So whether that's you're a cheerleader and you know, you did this great stunt or whatever at the game, or you know, you got an A on a chemistry test, or you won this award for debate or whatever. If their boyfriend doesn't acknowledge any of those things and say, you know, hey, great job, like that's so good that you did that, you should be so proud of yourself. Again, doesn't necessarily mean it's full abuse, but we want to show our children what healthy relationships look like. The other little things are just, you know, when you guys are getting to an argument, if, you know, just hang up the phone and just ignore the person the next day. Like, these are all things that are unacceptable behaviors. And I'm trying to imagine what it would be like in high school if you, you know, had a boyfriend and you got into an argument, which you're going to do because that's life, and if one hung up the phone and then ignored the girl the next day and was flirting with the other girl in school, you know, if you were raising that daughter or if you were raising that son and you basically taught them how to parent themselves, how to love them, love themselves through their boyfriend or girlfriend doing that, and then recognizing that if you're upset with me over an argument and you can behave in that way, why do I want to be with you? Why do I want to be with someone like that? Instead of, you know, the insecure girl seeing their boyfriend doing this stuff to them and almost going to them even further and saying, you know, I'm so sorry, like it was me, and apologizing where they shouldn't be apologizing and taking the abuse or getting nasty with the girl that he's flirting with because they're kind of throwing it in your face. Imagine if you're raising the girl or the boy that ignores that ridiculous, insecure, immature behavior and loves herself enough to know, I'm better than that. And I don't deserve that. And if that's the behavior that you need to, you know, exude to try to make, you know, hurt me or get to me, it doesn't work. So thank you, but I'm all set with this relationship. Like, think about how amazing that would be, obviously as a parent, and how proud you would be. But just if you could start that stuff at that age, just where your life would have taken you, you know, throughout your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, what have you, it's just great. And that's why I say, teach these things now, teach self-love to your kids, you know, teach them about doing affirmations and how to speak to themselves and being mindful of their thoughts and teaching them about what abuse looks like. So they know, hey, when my boyfriend, you know, Joe does these things, like, that's abuse. That's not okay that he does those things, and recognizing it. I can't tell you how probably helpful it definitely would have been for myself if I was growing up and I knew all of these things. Because when you know about it, you're able to practice it. So as the years go on, in your teen years, if you're able to practice, like, okay, that hurts my feelings that Joe just ignored me and talked to the girl because he's mad at me because he couldn't control me yesterday or whatever. If you start at that age, by the time you get to your 20s, it gets easier to spot this man or this guy or this girl, you know, the abusive person. And it's easier to love yourself through situations that you have to go through in life. And then in your 30s, it gets even easier. In your 40s, I mean, it's all good stuff. It's all uphill when you start learning about these things.
So that is it for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will see you in my next episode.